Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is EPA Assistant Administrator Radhika Fox, who joins us to discuss the agency's recent changes to the Waters of the U.S. rule. But first, here's this week's headlines. Mexico is working to embed a ban on genetically modified corn in its national food production standards. Mexico released a draft of its standard, which included a stipulation barring tortilla makers from using dough made with GM white corn. The U.S. has called for a dispute settlement panel with Mexico over the matter, challenging Mexico's GM corn ban under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. USDA this week awarded more than $250 million for energy efficiency and renewable projects through the department's Rural Energy for America program. The funding is used to deploy efforts like solar or wind energy projects on farms and ranches and to help small businesses in rural America pay for energy efficiency improvements. The funding will go toward more than 1,300 projects in 47 states. And finally, the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers released a new final rule updating how the government defines a water of the United States. The new rule eliminates the significant nexus test that determined areas covered by the Clean Water Act. Instead, the agencies incorporated a relatively permanent standard after a Supreme Court ruling forced their hand. Farm groups say the change still leaves producers with unanswered questions about their own fields. Radhika Fox is EPA's Assistant Administrator for the Office of Water, giving her an inside look at the rule and the process to finalize it. To start our conversation, we asked her to walk us through how that Supreme Court decision ultimately shaped the rule released by the agency.
I think it's important to note that when the Supreme Court issued the Sackett decision, it was a decision that didn't specifically rule on the 2023 definition of WOTUS. It looked more broadly at how to look at jurisdiction under waters of the United States. But that ruling made certain aspects of our 2023 rule invalid. And we wanted to fix that so that we had clarity and certainty for the regulated community, for your listeners. And so what we did is basically conform the 2023 rule to the Sackett decision. For example, the Supreme Court was very clear that utilizing a significant nexus test was not allowable. And so, for example, we have removed that from the rule moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So one of the, you mentioned the significant nexus test, the terminology that appears to have replaced that is the term relatively permanent. And in talking to some folks in the last couple of days, they're trying to ascertain what exactly relatively permanent might mean in the context of their farms, ranches, and operations. How does EPA plan to better inform the regulated community of just what exactly relatively permanent means?
So relatively permanent has been a long-standing test that the Army Corps and EPA have utilized to determine if a body of water is jurisdictional. So there is decades of jurisdictional determinations that have been made. We have a range of tools and resources that are available. Farmers, ranchers can reach out to their local core district to be supported in that. So there's a whole body of work that already exists around relatively permanent and how to understand that standard. And we're going to continue to hear from and listen to our stakeholders, our constituents, to see if further clarification is needed. And if so, we will continue to do that clarification through tools, resources, potentially additional guidance.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of where we go from here, as I understand it, the rule is immediately effective once it is published in the Federal Register. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe the agency has done that quite yet, but when do you anticipate that might be taking place?
It should happen pretty quickly in a couple of weeks. Basically, what happens is the agencies transmit the rule to the Federal Register office, and then they're the ones that publish it. That usually takes about 2 weeks, so it'll be coming soon.
We'll have more from Assistant Administrator Radhika Fox right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. EPA Assistant Administrator Radhika Fox says if producers are looking to determine whether or not they have a WOTUS in their operations, they have some resources to utilize and more are on the way.
What I would say is the 2023 Biden Waters of the United States rule made a lot of progress in this regard. One of the things that we did is we codified longstanding exclusions that had been a big question mark for producers. So for example, prior converted cropland is excluded. It's very clear in the rule that that is excluded. And we also aligned the definition of prior converted cropland with USDA definition. So there's a lot of clarity that has already been provided. And ultimately by implementing this rule this week, we provide even more clarity because we now have a rule, a regulatory regime that is in fact consistent with the Sackett decision. And in fact, Secretary Vilsack just yesterday talked about how with this action, we're providing the clarity that farmers, producers, ranchers need.
Mm-hmm. One of the levels of clarity that producer groups have said that they would like is they want to be able to sit in their vehicle, be it a pickup tractor, what have you. They want to be able to sit in that vehicle, look at the field, and know if they've got a Waters of the U.S. on their hands. Knowing the issue as you do, you know, given the some of the various factors that play into it, is that level of visual certainty, is that possible here?
Well, what I would say is we have a range of tools and resources to support farmers and ranchers. They can be in touch with their core districts and get support on this. There's a lot of clarity now with the Supreme Court decision and frankly, the agency's acting swiftly to make sure that the regulatory regime is consistent with Sackett. So we're really proud of that. We are also here at both the EPA and Army to support local communities, local producers, if they have questions. And we encourage folks to reach out.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward, how does the agency plan to involve the regulated community in terms of implementation and enforcement schedules and timelines?
Well, one of the things that the Biden administration has been absolutely committed to is listening to those who are impacted by the decisions that we make and having that inform our policy choices, our choices around regulation, around our investment programs. And I think you see that across the EPA and other agencies as well. And we're not going to waver from that commitment to listen and learn and have that inform future decision making. We have actually a webinar planned on September 12th. Folks can go to the EPA website to learn more about that. And it's a great opportunity to get a full briefing on this rule. But beyond that webinar, we are going to be hosting listening sessions with our state co-regulators, tribes, farmers, ranchers, other stakeholders, to see if there are any ongoing questions that people may have about implementation. And if so, we will continue to develop tools and resources to support implementation moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Does the agency have any timeline at this point on when you all anticipate potentially beginning things like enforcement actions?
I am not responsible for the enforcement program here, and so I cannot speak to that. But what I will say is that with the Waters of the United States rule that we issued this week, Army Corps is restarting jurisdictional determinations. So if there are matters before that permit actions that are, you know, looking for jurisdictional determinations, those are all commencing now.
Very good. Well, and you lead me to something I wanted to wrap up with. Obviously, you mentioned the Army Corps of Engineers having a relationship with EPA in regards to the drafting and implementation of the WOTUS rule. Is there a simplistic way to know who which agency necessarily owns the regulation at this point? Do you share different jurisdictions of different parts of the rule? For folks that are curious about how that relationship works, what's the best guidance you can give in terms of which agency is in charge of which WOTUS aspect?
Well, we are partner agencies in the development of the definition of waters of the United States. And so the rulemaking that we did this week, it's a joint rulemaking. It was actually signed by Administrator Regan and Assistant Secretary Connor because it's a joint rulemaking. And then Army Corps is responsible for the jurisdictional determination. So if you have a producer who is, looking for a jurisdictional determination, that would be happening at the local core district in their region of the country.
Very good. Assistant Administrator Fox, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Spencer.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, our Hannah Pagel takes a look at the history of the Waters of the U.S. issue in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
This week's Waters of the U.S. news is the latest development in a long-running back and forth over the scope of the Clean Water Act. The issue has been unfolding since 2006, when a Supreme Court decision led to the creation of the Significant Nexus Test, which gave the EPA oversight of a more expansive footprint of waterways. That led the Obama administration to finalize a rule in 2015 that used the Significant Nexus Test to set federal jurisdiction. Agricultural groups cheered the Trump administration's 2019 decision to repeal the Obama administration's rulemaking and to eventually replace it with the Navigable Waters Protection Rule. But when a federal court struck down the Trump rule, that left the Biden administration to do one of its own, which it finalized as the Supreme Court considered arguments in the Sackett versus EPA case. Now, this week's rule and its attempt to incorporate the Sackett decision mark the newest chapter in a book certain to have more twists and turns as the regulated community decides whether or not to pursue more legal action. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales, you're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we are going to continue our conversation on EPA's recent Waters of the U.S. news. Joined this week for the conversation by Courtney Briggs with the American Farm Bureau Federation and Tom Hebert with Bayard Ridge. Appreciate both of you taking the time. And Courtney, I want to go to you first, because we saw this week that Farm Bureau was one of several farm groups that were out with statements kind of criticizing the Environmental Protection Agency for the language that we saw. EPA says they were incorporating the Sackett versus EPA decision. A lot of farm groups kind of saying otherwise. In Farm Bureau's opinion, where do you all think EPA may have missed the mark in these efforts?
Yeah, Spencer, we were very disappointed with what came out on Tuesday, and it was less about what it said and more about what it didn't say. And, the agencies addressed the very obvious, irrefutable aspects of the Sackett decision. It got rid of the significant nexus test. It narrowed their interpretation of adjacency. But what it failed to do, and this is really where our frustration lies, is it failed to provide more context and more meat on the bones as to what relatively permanent means. And Justice Alito said that since significant nexus is no longer a regulatory test that we can use, the relatively permanent test is the test moving forward. But unfortunately, the agencies have left that very vague, very ambiguously defined, and that is a problem for our members because that just leads to more uncertainty.
So as you sit here right now, Courtney, what do you understand relatively permanent to mean in the context of some of the farms and ranches across the country?
In order to understand relatively permanent, you need to look back at the Rapanos decision from 2006. And while a lot of people like to hang their hat on a certain footnote where Scalia is referencing seasonality, Scalia was very clear that a stream that flows for 290 days could be a relatively permanent stream. So at a minimum, ephemeral features should be out, but also it is our opinion that there are many intermittent streams that should no longer be regulated by the federal government. But again, this is a vague and amorphous definition and leading to more uncertainty on the ground.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, I want to bring you into the fold here because giving yourself a couple of days to study EPA's language and the ruling that that it did release, how would you best describe the strategy that EPA deployed here in incorporating that Sackett decision?
Spencer, I think it's consistent with how they've tried to manage, which is what is for them a really substantively difficult and politically difficult topic. I don't believe this administration came in with revising the WOTUS rule as a high priority for multiple reasons, given all the other important things they had on their agenda important for them, and given how difficult it is to discern what jurisdiction means, given that Congress still needs to do some work there in terms of defining it. I think they're trying to get out of this without having to truly anger their Democrats' core constituencies in the environmental community while minimizing the amount of work that EPA has to do or the time that they might have to waste fighting over something that may turn out to be irresolvable. The bottom line is there's enormous problems with the way they have left relatively permanent undefined. Courtney's exactly correct about that. But there are court cases out there right now challenging how they define relatively permanent in the rule that they issued earlier this year, the January Biden rule. And if I were them, I'm thinking that they're waiting to see what the courts decide there rather than invest any time and effort in revising it now. Let the courts decide and then they will act. And if the courts constrain its scope, then they will be in a position to also blame the courts for that rather than take the blame themselves.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. While many farm groups were frustrated with the EPA's new WOTUS rule this week, Tom Hebert with Bayard Ridge says there were some good things in the rule as well.
Significant nexus was always a poorly conceived standard. And its use has always been a problem, and the unanimous decision of the Supreme Court telling them to strike it is consistent, and EPA has done that. Where you draw the line about how connected a wetland needs to be to a tributary or river in order to be WOTUS and the nature of that connection, the court gave them a bright line, and they've conformed with that, and they've retained other exclusions like prior converted cropland, which was in the Biden rule this past January. So yeah, they basically did what the Supreme Court told them to do in the most narrow sense possible. Those were good things, but I don't think they would have done them if the Supreme Court hadn't told them to.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the possibility of the agency looking at litigation on existing, WOTUS rules, the ones that where an injunction is in place. What do you think the agency should be expecting in terms of potential litigation against this rule that was rolled out this week?
Well, it remains to be seen, but I actually doubt if there will be any litigation specifically against what they've done this week. The underlying question of what is relatively permanent when you define a tributary that's jurisdictional is at issue in four of the outstanding court cases right now, and that's where those matters will play out.
Very good. Well, Courtney, I want to wrap up the conversation with you as we look toward the fact that we've had multiple administrations take a crack at trying to solve this issue. Multiple courts have weighed in now as well. I do wonder, I realize the political difficulty in what I'm about to ask, but at a certain point, does Capitol Hill need to weigh in here with just the confusion that has been in the court system and the executive branch? At a certain point, does Congress need to step in with some language that might make this issue a little easier to understand?
Well, this mess started with Congress, so I guess it would make sense that it should end with Congress. But in order for the ping-ponging back and forth between administrations to end, Congress does need to crack open the Clean Water Act and provide clear definitions for the community. But until that happens, we're going to see a lot of uncertainty on the ground. But that's a difficult exercise, both from a policy standpoint and a political standpoint, which is frankly why it has not been done. But yes, Congress does need to come back and do the hard work.
So we've seen more WOTUS news this week, certainly more to come as we continue to follow this issue. Tom, Courtney, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers, but first, our Hannah Pegel shows us where farm worker wages are on the way up in this week's Map It Out.
Hourly rates in the H-2A program are not supposed to undercut wages paid to domestic workers, but recent increases are also making H-2A more expensive for U.S. employers. The Department of Labor sets an adverse effect wage rate for each state every year based on a USDA wage survey. This map shows the AWER for each state this year. It ranges from just under $14 in southern states like Alabama and Mississippi, to more than $18 in California, to nearly $21 for the District of Columbia. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, farm worker wages will increase in every state this year. Workers in Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota will all be making nearly $2 an hour more than last year. On the other hand, workers in Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia will make 37 cents more per hour than last year. Jackie Faca has a detailed look at how these numbers are impacting farmers across the country, as well as coverage on other workforce issues facing American agriculture in her series on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales. You're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. It could be a relatively quiet week with Monday's Labor Day holiday, but congressional action will get an early start when senators return to Capitol Hill next week. With the calendar turning to September, we'll also be keeping a close eye on the work to avoid a government shutdown at the end of the month. We'll keep you up to date with our coverage on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.